Sue Wilson is the new superintendent of Mapleton School. She joins me for this edition of Our Town. And how are you today?
I am doing great.
Good, yeah, good.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. During the COVID pandemic, we did a lot of these, virtually. And it doesn't feel the same as having a live person in studio. So thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I would much rather be in person as well.
So let's go back into your past a little bit. And let's start with your early years in school. Was there a teacher or somebody when you were growing up that maybe influenced you to take the route you took?
That is a great question that I don't know that I've thought about. I am lucky to have had a lot of great teachers over the years. So the one I'll share, I had my first grade teacher, Miss Sally Freeland, and she moved with our class then to the third grade. I didn't have her in third grade, but she was a third grade teacher at the school, and I spent a lot of time in her classroom and with her. And then in fifth grade, she was up at fifth grade, and I think that's the year I was really into reading, and her library in her classroom was my library. The reason she comes to mind is when I became a teacher, I wasn't expecting to become a teacher. I can get into that in a little bit, but she was the first person I called and said, "Oh my gosh, I ended up a teacher. Can you help?" And she was retiring and gifted almost all of her resources from her classroom to me. So she's a phenomenal influence in my life. I teach different subjects. She was an elementary teacher. I was not, but just a phenomenal human being who unfortunately has passed away, but was very influential as I got started.
Now, in the things that she gave you, were any of that original library in there that you had read from?
Yeah, library. The funniest thing was spelling books. And I remember those from being a kid, but just some curricular resources that I could go back to and look at. But I remember specifically spelling books and where you put your name in the front of it, like found my name in something she gave me. So
wow, that's a neat little antique there.
And then a lot of
there.
The library that, by then they were old books, but some were books that I read and loved.
So you jump to high school years now. Where did you go to school? Was it in Eugene?
Phoenix, no. Arizona.
Oh, Phoenix.
Born and raised.
Oh, so you're an Arizona State fan, probably.
So I went to Oregon State, though, so
oh, okay.
Go Beavs.
All right.
So Sun Devils are all right. Always have Arizona connections, but...
So I'm from Tucson.
Oregon.
So
okay.
I totally
Wildcat.
Get that, but I'm Wildcat.
My brother graduated from U of A.
Yeah, my sister did too, but I didn't. So you're from the desert heat. I can understand. The next question would be, how'd you end up in Oregon? But I can kind of understand that, having done that myself. But in high school, when did you know in high school what direction you wanted to take, or was it not until you got to Oregon State that you...
Yeah, actually it was as I was leaving Oregon State. So I thought I was going to be a scientist and enjoyed the content of my science classes, did well in science and math, and was told I should be a scientist. And had interesting...
It's hard when someone tells you you're supposed to be a scientist, right? Because it's like, wait a minute, I have a decision to make here, right?
And it was interesting. I was like, sure. So I went to Oregon State. I majored in biochemistry and biophysics, and thought I had interest in neurology. Became clear that's not what I wanted to do as a practice, and so I focused more on lab science. And I never realized how slow it was. And I got in the lab and I move faster than the pace of science.
Mentally?
It's a lot of waiting.
Right.
Lab science, they don't tell you that part, but it's a lot of waiting. Yeah. And I was like, what do you do while you wait?
Need a little instant gratification when you're working on something.
Yes, and interaction. And I think I know now there are science fields where you can get more of that, but that was not my experience. Yeah. And I called home.
I guess if you're working with a CERN collider, that might be a different...
Yeah, but I bet they wait a lot, too.
All right, so you're leaving Oregon State. You get your degree. And
moved back to Phoenix and was driving past. So we have a state juvenile detention jail.
Yeah.
And I was driving by and I was like, I wonder what they do there. And so I called and said, do you help kids? And do I have to yell at them, or is it more... rehabilitative, restorative? And they said, well, that's the goal. I said, maybe I'll do this. And so I, and the look you just gave me, my mother said, what every biochemist does.
Well, no, the reason I gave you that look is because I worked for the juvenile detention facility in Pima County.
Oh, okay.
In Tucson.
Yeah.
Same thing, sort of the mentor. I mean, I was an officer, but I took more of the mentor role with the kids.
So I was a youth youth corrections officer. Yeah, so Adobe Black Canyon in North Phoenix.
I can relate. Yeah.
Where I was, and best job I ever had. Everything I know about education, I learned there. This eye-opening, there are wonderful kids there that end up there for reasons that are beyond their control and within their control. It's both. And so,
well, it's that age when you're making decisions that you wouldn't make as an older person, and you don't realize the consequences.
Yeah.
So it's not totally within their control. But yeah, I understand.
And probably 80-90% of them are in the state protective services, and sometimes it was lack of a placement, sometimes it was running from a placement, sometimes there's one story that comes to mind that a kid stole shoes. Well, her shoes barefoot and living on the streets. And so you get these stories and start to make sense of the world that is not your world. And I thrived there and knew I wanted to work with kids the rest of my life. Maybe not in that. I mean, some of it was, how do we prevent kids from getting into this setting?
Right.
So and at the same time, I coached basketball. So really the thing that brought me to education was basketball. I grew up playing and then quickly turned to coaching. And my local middle school, where I attended and played and still coached, said, we want you to teach, and we think we have a spot for you. So I transitioned from the jail to the classroom.
Wow.
So,
was your empathy for children difficult to deal with while in that environment? Because I know thinking about it now, I get choked up. I had a really hard time watching some of those kids.
Yeah. I don't know if hard. So I can tell you the moment of my life where I was like, wow, there are different experiences. And I was young. So I graduated at 21. I think I was 21 years old my first year, maybe just turned 22. And kids age out at 18 there, right? So on their 18th birthday, they walk out the door no matter what. And I had a almost 18-year-old inmate, for lack of a better word, who, it was Mother's Day coming up, and they did a brunch, and a lot of kids didn't have family to be there. And she came to me and said, will you go to the Mother's Day brunch as my mother? And there were less than 3 years difference,
right,
between our ages, maybe four. And I had this moment, and I didn't tell kids how old I was when I was there. And I had this moment of like, what? Like, and we were told we couldn't go to that, but I did a lot of reflection on like, how do you land in these two different spots? And I think that's always stuck with me.
Yeah.
There are a couple kids that live with me in everything I do now.
Yeah.
Who I got to know there.
I could share some stories with you, but this isn't about
me.
I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you start your education career.
Yeah.
As a teacher, to modern day, you ended up in here in Florence. How did that come to be?
How did that happen?
Well, it was actually Mapleton, not Florence.
But. Yeah, yeah. So the quick, I'll try to keep it a kind of quick version. So I ended up teaching 13, 14 years in Phoenix. And the last 4 years of that were as in a small science, technology, engineering, and math-focused school that really emphasized community-connected learning. So we had students out doing real things in the community. Amazing school. I love to talk about it. And that style of teaching and learning is... one, I believe in it. I think it's important for communities and for students. And I wanted to do more of that. And originally I had an opportunity probably to become principal of that school. And so I was asked to get my admin license and didn't really want to be an administrator. I liked teaching. So, they saw leadership potential in me, which I'm very grateful for. And kind of in that administrative process, realize like us doing this type of curriculum in small schools for 100 kids a year is not going to shift the larger system. I want to figure out how to do this in comprehensive schools. And so I left. And that was a hard decision, and I think the right decision. And it was kind of at a moment in my family's life as well that some transition was possible. But my husband will tell you he would have done it differently, but I was like, let's go. So we landed in a friend's basement in Portland without jobs with a 3- and 4-year-old.
There you go. That's a leap of faith.
Yeah, that's what we did. So I didn't know licensing took a little longer in Oregon. So it took me a little while to get started. But I did a long-term teaching spot in David Douglas School District and then landed a job at Oregon Department of Education as the applied math and STEM specialist for the state of Oregon, which gave me this great opportunity to kind of see the big picture of education in Oregon and network all across the state. And in that networking, met quite a few people really interested in applied math and applied science in the Eugene area. And one thing led to another. I took the curriculum administrator job, which became curriculum director at Eugene 4J. And then a couple years into that, the Student Investment Account, Student Success Act was passed, and this position over at Lane ESD became open. And it was a chance to support system capacity building. The underlying focus of the Student Success Act is engagement with community, and that the answers to improving education exist in community.
So it brought you back to where you wanted to
be. It is my core. Yeah. It was like, okay, this is, and I just kind of following this path of this dream to really embed community-centered curriculum and instruction inside of schools. And in that position, I've had an awesome opportunity to work alongside all 16 school districts in Lane County. And in that was partnership with Mapleton and getting to know Jody and the community. We did pre-COVID a number of listening sessions. And in each one, the community was talking about the importance of education and the possibilities for connection for the school to really like community vitalization in that partnership. And I could hear it, and I could see the potential. There's all these pieces that are already existing in Mapleton. And so I think at one point I whispered to Jody, if you ever leave here, call me. I never wanted to be a superintendent, but if I ever jump, this might be the spot. And I was thinking Jody had like 10 more years.
Yeah, well, and then Jody, surprise.
Yep, surprise. So she called me and said, hey, this might be coming. And originally I said the timing wasn't right. And then we managed. It became this interesting opportunity to kind of partner with the ESD in the way that I'm hired. And I don't know if you have that background, but I have a split FTE between the ESD and the school district, which actually allows for hiring additional, right? There's extra money in both spots because of that, and allows for capacity building in both spots.
Okay.
And then our whole team at the ESD has been working closely with Mapleton staff over the last couple of years, and so it's a chance to just continue strengthening that partnership.
So now you're here. Hopefully you've gotten your stability, your feet underneath.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that this coming year, school year, is going to bring, maybe some different differences or things the same?
I'm getting my feet under me, and part of that is just meeting community and meeting our staff and teachers. Like I know a lot of them, and we've also hired some new staff, and summer's quiet. They're getting rest, which they should, and is well deserved. And so I'm checking in with each staff member and getting to know students and families and local community members, and kind of seeing the potential right now. So in terms of concrete plans, the first thing is to get the school year started. And so we'll get there. But some potentials that we're exploring are we hired a full-time art teacher, and we'll have a K-12 arts program. And our industrial arts building that has a long history as a shop and automotive and technology programs will house our arts program. But we're looking at really how to embed design and arts into a traditional shop, welding, woods, and even 3D printing and CNC machinery. So some conversations with partners across the county in the potentials of that building that I'm super excited to be looking at and move forward. And then there's a history of farm to table curricular connections that we're having really early conversations. So I don't want to promise anything, but these potentials, like there are histories of these that I think bringing back and making alive in our community, and really looking at right, if that space, that arts building, that can be a student space, but also a community space. And so how do we use our facilities in ways that benefit our full community and support the teaching and learning of our students?
Bring everybody together.
Absolutely.
That sounds cool. Yeah. Sue Wilson, thank you so much for stopping in. Yeah. Appreciate it. Good to meet you.
Yeah, and, same here.
You know, we got an Arizona connection here, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you have a great time, and look forward to hearing more from you this year.
All right, great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Coming up next on Our Town, we talk with Pat Sapp about the Playhouse and the new remodel.